The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Hello and welcome to episode 100 of the Big Scottish Football Podcast. Yay! We've made it to episode 100. Ewan Cameron's got a denim shirt on in celebration. It's fantastic. You've got your iPad, your pouch as well. You're clapping for no reason like a seal.
100.
100 episodes.
Yay!
Are you counting how many claps you're doing? Is that what you're doing?
No.
Try to make it to 100.
When you get to, when it's your birthday, you normally get the bumps.
Yeah, that is true.
No, got time to do 100 bumps.
No, we don't. Do you know what we do have time for?
What do we have time for?
An extremely special message from someone. Because, obviously, when you get to 100, in real life, you get a message from someone very, very important.
Darlings, sorry this isn't quite the message from a queen you were looking for, but congratulations on your 100th episode. Hooray!
Hey, who was that, John?
That was Bella Houston.
Bella Houston,
yeah.
A drag queen.
Yes.
Right, okay, fair enough.
I couldn't get Charles.
Right,
and
okay.
And then I thought, well.
Yeah, because obviously he's taken over the sort of like sending out the telegram messages.
So it still happens.
Yeah, I think so.
But the king does it.
Yeah.
I thought it was just a queen thing. Maybe because that's all we've ever known.
Well, yeah, I think that's
absolutely probably why
it was. Yeah,
so you got the next best thing, which was Bella
Houston, the drag queen.
Yeah.
And where's Bella? Where's she from?
Well, I'm guessing Glasgow. If her name's Bella Houston.
Oh my god,
that's actually genius.
Yeah,
there's a place called Bella Houston in Glasgow.
And yeah, I think most people will be aware of that, Bella Houston Park.
Well, it's just dropped for me. Well, see, for some people, they don't get it straight away. Sometimes they need it spelled out for them, and that's genius.
That explains a lot about the quiz.
Bella Houston, that's so good.
Thanks, Bella.
Love you.
Do you know what I would like to ask, actually? And this is to everyone who's listening, anyone who's watching on YouTube, leave your comments. I want to know the oldest person that listens to this podcast. Like, I don't think there'll be anyone who's 100.
No.
But there's bound to be people in their, you know, 70s, I think.
No.
You don't think there's anyone in their 70s listening to this podcast?
Just from a tech point of view, the people in their 70s...
Silver Surfers.
But do they use YouTube? And
yes.
Spotify and Apple Music and Deezer and stuff like that?
Well, we'll find out, I guess.
Is there anyone in their 70s listening to this show?
Or older. We'll take older.
Oh, no, 70 or over.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're saying that anyone from 60 to 69, we expect that to happen.
I think there's probably lots of people in their 60s listen. Like, my dad's like 62, 63. He knows what YouTube is and Spotify.
Deezer and everything.
Yeah. He uses SoundCloud.
So what we're saying here is that we think that possibly people 70 and above might not know tech as well as people in their 60s.
I think that's probably a fair assumption.
Yeah. And we want to know if there's anyone in their 70s listening.
I think there'll 100% be people in their 70s who listen to this podcast.
Do we want people to message their age anyway so we can get a rough idea of the average age of who listens to the show?
Or I mean, I think we could probably... I think producer John probably has details on that.
Yeah,
I think can see.
We can go into the back end and the analytics of the channel and we can find out that information. But we'd be interested to see if there is someone elderly that listens to the podcast.
Yeah, like, yes. and we're talking like... And by the way, we're not doing this for a sort of like piss take or anything.
No.
We're genuinely interested about who the oldest person is who listens to the podcast.
And what would be the interest in this podcast if you're of a vintage year?
Well, you're quite old. You talk about old stuff.
I'm not old.
You do talk about old stuff.
I don't. I'm down with the kids. I give you fantastic movie reviews.
No, you do. I'm not saying...
music and all that stuff.
Just because that doesn't mean that. Like, you can do both.
I can do both.
Yeah.
So if you're 70 or above, let us know if you're listening to the show.
Yeah,
that'd be nice.
I was going to say at Big Football Scott, but you probably don't have Twitter. So leave a comment on YouTube or write us a letter.
Carrier pigeon.
And we'll maybe pick it up next week at some point. So write us a letter, get in touch, send us a telegram. And
Did you ever know anybody who looked after pigeons and raised pigeons? There was always one guy in your neighbourhood that had pigeons. And looked after pigeons. I had crates and crates of pigeons.
See, if my mum was here, my mum would tell me that I know somebody who looked after pigeons.
But everyone knows.
I can't think off the top of my
head.
Everybody
knows a pigeon.
The wee
lover.
Park. There's a park in the village back home, and it had the pigeon sort of things.
Yeah. The rats of the sky, as they're known as.
It's a bit harsh. I think pigeons get a bad name.
Rats of the skies, that's what they are.
That's not very nice.
John, do you know anyone who looks after pigeons?
No, but obviously John Lambie, yep, former Partick Thistle and Falkirk manager, was very famous for looking after pigeons. And I believe, actually, your co-presenter on the Greatest Hits Radio Breakfast has been to John Lambie's pigeon coup, Cat Harvey.
Is that a euphemism? Or is that something to do with pigeons?
She said, I've seen John Lambie's pigeons.
So. Well, he's gone now, so we can say what we want. But is Duncan Ferguson not any pigeons as well?
I think he is, you know.
I think Duncan Ferguson's any pigeons.
I honestly think Duncan, yes, I remember that. Yeah. A quick Google on that.
Go and Google that. Duncan Ferguson, the Inverness manager, looks after pigeons.
I'm sure he's into pigeons. I'm
sure he's yeah.
A... Go and Google that.
Gary Spence, who I do the show with from 4 o'clock every day.
Yeah, Drive Time.
He, I think it was his, maybe his grandparents lived in Preston Pans, and they used to have pigeons there. He always tells us.
The only birds I've ever had in my life was budgies.
Ah, there's a picture of Duncan Ferguson with a bunch of pigeons.
I told you he looked after pigeons.
So Duncan Ferguson's pal ripped the head off his favourite pigeon, Super Gran. The pigeon was called Super Gran, and it was the angriest he's ever been, apparently.
No wonder. That's a horrible thing to do.
There you go, so there you go.
I hate stuff like that. Why would you do that to a poor wee pigeon?
I don't know, but he
wasn't. What did that pigeon ever do to you?
Exactly. What a shocking. I hope that person got to jail. Talk to me about the budgies.
I used to have budgies as a kid. I used to love budgies. They had a wee bell, and they'd ping it, and they'd ring it, and they'd ding it.
Yeah.
I loved them. We used to open up the cage door, and they'd fly about the living room.
What were they called?
Budgies.
Did they have individual names?
Oh, yeah. What was the blue one called? Bella or something?
Bella the pigeon?
No.
Oh, the budgie, yes.
The budgie. And I can't even remember what the other one was called.
Yeah. Oh, well. I mean, they clearly left a lasting impression on you if you can't even remember their names. So, right. Before we get to your movie review, let's have a wee chat about the thing that's been dominating this podcast for the last week. And that is... sock, sock, shoe, shoe.
Sock, sock, shoe, shoe. I had to turn off notifications because the amount of people that were messaging
so
about
many.
Sock, sock, shoe, shoe. Do you want to explain for those who haven't heard what you said last week?
I saw somewhere somebody speaking about how they put their how they dress their feet effectively, and they said that they went sock, shoe.
Sock, shoe. Where you believe
it's sock, sock, shoe, shoe, shoe. Because if you had, and there's lots of comments backing this up, if you went sock, shoe, then you'd have a naked foot and a fully dressed foot.
Correct.
And I think that is insane, although Ewan Cameron does subscribe to that. Davey said, the idea of having one foot ready to go and one foot naked actually made me dry heave a wee bit. That's not right. Normal people put both socks on, then their shoes.
Normal people put on both socks on, then their shoes.
Corbytown TV says, just when you think Ewan couldn't get any worse, it's sock, shoe, sock, shoe. Richie, sock, sock, shoe, shoe. The other way is demented and very fitting of you to do sock, shoe, sock, shoe. Someone call MI5, he needs watching. Chimakis says, sock, sock, shoe, shoe. P.S. with a string going from shoe to shoe so I don't lose one. McMack says, who has their outdoor shoes on in the fucking bedroom? Great show, by the way. I've been listening from the start. Very happy to have you, mate. DVD Echo says, sock shoe. That's just weird, man. When you're going out, do you put one arm of a jumper on and one of your jacket before doing the other side? John Mitchell, it's definitely sock, sock, shoe, shoe, with the exception of when you're getting dressed after swimming, because there's nothing worse than a wet sock. Now, I think we've found the exception that proves the rule.
Correct.
Because when you're getting changed after swimming...
Or in a changing room.
And the floor's wet.
Uh-huh.
Completely.
Or if you're at the beach.
Yes.
You've just washed one foot and you're hopping about.
Precisely.
Yeah.
So John makes a fair point there. Raymond says, my God, Barry Norman will be turning in his grave at these film reviews. And who actually has their shoes by the side of the bed? Strange behaviour. Definitely a Netflix documentary coming about Ewan. So yeah, thank you for all your comments about sock, shoe, sock, shoe. But I told you, there were people out there, and I had a worrying amount of messages who were like, no, I do it the same way as Ewan. And I honestly, it blew my mind.
Well, I've got a picture. that was sent to me by Chris. Hello to Chris, of his wife Ashley.
Right.
And I've been given permission to show this picture of his wife Ashley doing.
I've not seen this.
Sock shoe, sock shoe. So he's taking this picture of her sitting on the sofa, leaning over and putting on a sock and a shoe, and then a sock and a shoe. And there's that picture right there.
That is insane.
Right, here we go. Have a look at that. It's on YouTube. There it is. The one naked foot. There you go. That's Ashley. One naked foot, one sock, one shoe. And I don't see what the issue is with that. And that was Chris who secretly took that picture of his wife, Ashley.
That is amazing. That is absolutely amazing.
Is she for watching?
Oh, yes. I think that's absolutely insane behaviour. Like, why would you do that?
So, Ashley, that was your husband who gave me permission to put that up.
It then spawned a whole lot of other debate, like in my group chat and that, because there was another person who subscribed to the same sort of method as you.
Yeah.
And they were like, when you put your jeans on, do you jump straight into your jeans? And I was like, no, but you've put your both feet
That's
on.
That's a really good point.
Then
when you put your jeans on, do you put both legs in at the same time and then pull it
well,
up?
Well, not at the same, like I'm not jumping into my jeans.
No, not jumping in slow. I'm going to stand up for this. So you've got your jeans on the floor.
Yeah.
And you put one foot in, and then you pull them up.
Yes.
No, you don't.
Yes,
you actually don't.
Yes, you do.
You don't.
You do.
You put one on, and you lift it up, and then you'll put the other one on and lift it up.
No, you don't.
You're not putting both legs into your jeans at the same time.
Well, not at the exact same time, no.
But you're saying more or less.
More or less, yeah.
Nah.
Like, you've got your jeans, and then you put one foot in, another foot in, and then pull them up. That's completely normal. That's completely normal. We just obviously dress differently.
No, you pull one leg up first and then you pull the other one on.
No, you don't.
You do.
No, you don't.
I would take these jeans off and do it, but.
No, let's
show you.
Don't do that.
We might get banned from YouTube.
Yes. Right. So.
Thank you for all your correspondence
thank you.
On that.
At Big Football Scott, keep them coming. And also on YouTube, you can always leave your comments there. Just search for Clyde One Super Scott.
John, there's a close up on me. That's way too close on me for YouTube.
Right, okay.
Try to just pull that back
Hold
a bit.
On.
Even I'm scared looking at that.
Yeah, that's not great.
That's
not
way great. Too
pull
close.
Pull it back just a touch.
Just a touch. Come on, Steven Spielberg, do your thing.
Oh my. That's way too close.
Oh, no, that's.
Oh, sorry. The other way.
You've gone the wrong way there, John.
Oh, John! John, what are you doing?
Working with children, man. Right, a wee bit further. They're now out of focus, right? That's fine. That's it there. Right. But I'm not focused now. I look like there's Vaseline all over me. I'm not even in focus, buddy. It's like one of those movies from the 1980s that like look like smeared Vaseline on the screen to give it that avant-garde look. And do you want to lower it a wee bit as well? I look like I'm... Right, there you go. That's fine.
Okay, right, fair enough.
So can I get to my recommendation for the telly this week?
Yes, you can. What you got
for this
week?
Go and play the music, please, producer John. The recommendation this week is a 1 hour 15 minute documentary, and it's on Netflix, and it's part of their Untold series. Now, the Untold series is where they tell the stories
that haven't been told.
That haven't been told, and it's always about...
It's a good name for it, then.
Big sporting events and sporting heroes and icons and legends and things that you thought you knew about that person but you didn't really know.
Because it hasn't been told before.
It hasn't been told before. Yeah. So this is the untold story of the greatest female goalkeeper of all time.
Okay.
And she's got the coolest name ever for a footballer.
Which is?
Hope Solo.
Hope Solo, yeah, I've heard of her, American.
Yeah, an American goalkeeper. It's the untold story of Hope Solo.
And nobody's ever told it before.
No, and you have to watch this. And the reason you have to watch this is that you will be absolutely gobsmacked at the way that this goalkeeper was treated when she went to the World Cup in China. And all I'm going to say to you is this. It's a great documentary. It talks about her career, her childhood, her father. Her father was homeless and was living on the streets. And she'd go and serve him food in the forest.
Right.
He lived in a forest.
Okay.
And Hart and her pal, who played for the American national team, would make food and take him to the forest where he lived.
Okay.
So her background, her story is just inspiring. It's really, really good. And then she gets to China. She's at the World Cup. She's playing magnificently in the World Cup. And they get to the semi-finals and something happens. And what happens at the semi-final of the World Cup in China with Hope Solo, every single one of her teammates, the coaching staff and the manager fall out with her and they leave her in China. They get on a plane without her. They don't even want to be in the same plane as her. They left her in China after the World Cup. So, but why? Why? And see these players. They approached every single player. They make it. They make a big meal out of it. They approached every player and manager to come on and speak about said incident. Not one of those players had the guts to come on and tell them why they did what they did. It's a fantastic documentary. Untold, Hope Solo, American goalkeeper. Great documentry.
So, as per usual, 90% told by Ewan Cameron.
No, it wasn't. So. No, it wasn't. I told you their father lived in a forest and they served him food.
And she got left in China after a massive incident.
Yeah, but it's not just that. It's about her entire career and how there was redemption. And there was also the bit that really got me as well is the way that the American team didn't back her up when she was trying to get equal pay and everything. It's a fascinating story, and she's front and centre.
95% told story.
No, it's Stephen. You
95% told. Hope Solo.
Untold, yeah. Netflix. Please get it watched. Solo. And when you do watch it, get in contact with me on Facebook, on Twitter, or whatever, and let me know what you think, because it's a great story. Stephen, go and you watch it this week, mate. So we
I did actually see it.
Did you watch it?
No, I didn't watch it, but I will watch it.
But are you aware of it?
Yeah, I'm aware. I saw it on Netflix.
You'd love it. It's really good.
But I don't need to watch it now. You've just told me 95% of it, so that's fine. Okay, to some more of your comments from last week. Barsabet. Does Ewan have any comment to make on the fact that San Marino have won more games than Hearts this season? Did you see Liechtenstein versus Gibraltar last night? It's a 2-2 draw.
Was it?
And apparently it was an absolutely unbelievable match. There was like two penalties in stoppage time and stuff like that.
2-2. Right.
Loads of games, loads of goals disallowed and stuff like that.
That's one of the positives of the Nations League. We're now seeing teams play up against other teams of a similar calibre, which is why it's really, really good.
On The Simpsons, in relation to Homer being rich, he owns the Denver Broncos after helping Hank Scorpio kill James Bond. So, like, you know, that's... Remember, you're talking about how can Homer Simpson afford...
The house, the cars,
yeah,
and a stay-at-home wife. Does he own the Denver Broncos?
And it's sock, sock, shoe, shoe, you and you're absolutely wrong.
No, let's go back to Simpsons. Does he own the Denver Broncos? I don't recall that. Does he?
The Simpsons have done everything. So yes, he has. I believe so. He owns... Like, he's done lots of things.
Right, so I shouldn't really be surprised that he has a stay-at-home wife and has that house and has two cars for the job that he does because he's got other things going on.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Well, and also a lot of people pointed out, you kept on going about, oh, she's a stay-at-home wife. It's not very common. But, I mean, it probably was common in the late 1980s.
Yeah, it's more common than it is now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And I don't know if you're aware, but The Simpsons haven't actually aged at any point during The Simpsons. They've stayed at the same age the entire time.
That's a good point.
Other things. Mr. Ewan says three things. I think for whatever Ewan is saying on underrated, overrated, I think his name should be Horny Bear instead of Jambo Bear. Two, for the mass footballer, have a punt and say it's Scott Allen. And three, producer John reminds me of that one friend that everyone has when he interrupts you both with his poor patter because he keeps running in when Falkirk win. Wonder if we'll see him today.
Let me just think about that.
Will we see producer John coming in singing Amarillo today? I don't know if
are we
going
to go through the Challenge Cup results?
Oh, yes.
We will.
No need to do that. Right. Yeah.
I don't think we will see any dancing and singing today. I've just got a funny feeling that's not going
to
happen.
Richard says, any normal person goes to the beach for the day, but Stephen has to be better than everyone and go to Brussels for the day. This show how big a fanny he is. Plus it's sock, sock, shoe, shoe, and the Ewan does up his Velcro straps because laces are too incorrect use of too dangerous for Ewan and his constant meltdowns on the show. Really good message, Richard, and really well written out.
Look, see that?
Yeah.
That's a boot that's got laces all the way up to my ankle.
Yeah.
And it's also got, I'm going to show you this side, it's also got a zip.
Yeah.
So not only has my boot got laces on it, it's got a zip and I can do it all. I can do the zip and I can do the laces and I did it in a double bow as well. So get it up, you Richard.
Richard can't even write in proper sentences. So, I mean, I wouldn't be too bothered about Richard. But anyway, thanks for your comment, Richard.
Dick. Because that's what they call people who are Richard.
Exactly. Yeah. John says, lots of slavering on in the opening 10 minutes, lads. Stephen, we do pay council tax in the US. It's just called property tax. It's $12,000 a year in my house. So remember, we were speaking about that.
What kind of house does he have?
I think it does depend on the size of the house.
House?
Yeah.
$12,000 for the house that he is in. He has to be... He must be He must be rolling in it.
Aye, but it's different in America. Ewan, sock, sock, shoe, shoe, for Christ's sake. First eating in the bath, and now this. And the review of the week comes from Kyle Durnan. Don't normally watch, listen to the podcast, but you guys are fantastic. Even Ewan and his strange shoe dressing capabilities. So there we are. Thank you for all your comments. We do appreciate them, good or bad. Get them in on YouTube at Big Football Scott as well. And of course, it's episode 100. If you've been here since the start, thank you very much. We do appreciate you.
We've got nothing planned. Is that it? We had at the start?
Oh, no, there's more to come. There's more to come.
Are we doing what we talked about in the WhatsApp group? We're going to announce Saturday?
I don't know. We'll see.
Like, we want to get the people listening involved.
Yeah, possibly.
Like, bring them in the studio.
Possibly.
You know, the idea we were discussing? Yeah. Bring them in.
I know.
And sit here beside us.
Yeah.
What do you think of that? Because I don't know who you'd get.
Nah.
That's the worry about who would walk through that door.
Exactly.
That's, and once they're here, you kind of get rid of them.
Because, yeah. Aye.
Unless we did an application form.
We'd have to do some sort of application form.
Well, if we did an application form with like 10 questions so that we can not get the nutters.
It wouldn't leave many. It wouldn't leave
you. Yeah.
What I was going to say is, if you have listened to all 100 episodes, including the first one, then...
That doesn't exist.
That doesn't exist, of course. Then you can get in touch and let us know about that.
Why does that not exist?
Scotland. So, couple of matches for Scotland since we last spoke. Obviously, 3-2 against Poland at Hampden on Thursday night. And, of course, last night against Portugal, 2-1 it finished. In Lisbon. So, after last night's game, Steve Clarke said, obviously disappointed. It looked for a long period that we get something from the game. The effort and the quality of the players put in, they deserve to get something. I reiterated to the players that we just have to understand what part of the cycle we're in, what we're trying to do. We're trying to readjust after the summer. We can use these matches to try and build. The end goal is to qualify for a tournament. It'd be nice to get some points, not to concede late goals. But this is the level we're at because we've been a good team. There's been a lot of positives, if you ignore the results. You know, he kind of said similar on... Let's start with the Poland game, first of all, because I was at the game. It was kind of flat first half, obviously, because Poland scored after about, 6 minutes or whatever it was.
I still think there was a hangover from Germany.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And I didn't actually think we played that bad in the first half.
No, we didn't.
Despite the fact that we were 2 goals down.
We didn't have a shot on target in the first half.
No, I wouldn't say we played well.
No, but we created chances and we dominated the ball.
Yeah.
And that's without a shadow of a doubt.
I think Poland looked really threatening.
Counter.
Really direct. Mm-hmm. Second half, I actually thought we played very well. I mean, we obviously did. We got ourselves back into the game at 2-2.
Especially when we made the changes after 70 minutes.
Yeah, but even before then, we scored obviously right after half time, and that the whole stadium lifted after that and really got behind the players. And I thought that, but in saying that, I still actually thought Poland played well in the second half. Mm-hmm. I thought Poland played better than they did in the first half.
It opened up.
Now, obviously, the goals we concede, the first goal, terrible from Kenny McLean, a really poor ball into Gilmore.
Yeah.
Sort of nicked off him. The guy runs. I think Gunn has to be doing better for the first goal as well. Second goal, terrible from Ralston, who actually I thought did okay.
I think he was good against Poland. I thought he was excellent last night against Portugal.
Yeah, I thought he had a really good game last night. But I thought he was decent against. Didn't really do anything wrong. But obviously, when you give away a penalty, that's a big thing to get wrong, and obviously it cost us.
One thing about Ralston, he looked way more at home in a back four than he does as a wing back.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. And then I think that, obviously, Hanley for the penalty, I don't know. Why does he go with his left foot? Like, for a start, go with your right foot.
The boy's running off the
pitch. I know, he doesn't even need to do anything. No, it's just, I don't know what it was.
Jockey him. Just keep jogging. Just run alongside him.
No complaints, obviously, about either of the penalties.
The Brian Gunn's got to save that.
Brian Gunn would probably be better than Angus Gunn at this stage.
Angus Gunn's got to save that penalty against Poland.
He dives over the ball.
But he gets his hands to it as well.
But I think even coming out of the game, yes, we're disappointed, obviously, to lose. And obviously, we're on this terrible run now of, one win and
14
or whatever it is after last night. So that's not great at all. But I do think there were positives from the Poland game. Last night, he names the same starting lineup, and we're in the WhatsApp group going,
"What the fuck?
What's he doing? Is he just trolling us now?
Like, is he doing it felt
this?
Like that.
Is he doing this for a laugh?" But fair play, I thought Clark pretty much got his tactics spot on last night, given that Portugal are a far better side than Poland and B, definitely us. And they've, like, got, look, they've got a lot of quality. And, but, sorry, just let me finish.
Go on.
Disappointing again to lose such a late goal. It was coming. They had chances.
Yeah.
Gunn made some fantastic saves. Yes, again, he should have done so much better with the first goal. I'll get to that in VAR WTF in just 3 seconds because I think there's a thing that was missed last night.
Yeah.
And I've seen quite a bit of it on social media. But in terms of our overall performance, I thought the first half, we started pretty well in terms of the goal. Great goal. Kenny McLean, like we were saying, why is Kenny McLean starting?
What a cross.
I mean, an absolutely brilliant ball in for McTominay.
It was Beckham-esque.
It really was. It was a top quality ball in. And then we're all of a sudden 1-0 in front. Yeah, they had a few chances, but I mean, what did they have? Like, really, one really good save from Gunn. The rest was all sort of off target, from, I think.
Rafael Leao, yeah, that was a good save.
There was a great save. But I think
Jota header.
Yeah,
over the bar. And the shot over the bar.
So yeah, of course, Portugal were mostly dominating and had, but they should be. They're much better than us.
Yeah.
And they've got some really quality players. I thought we did really well just to get into halftime in front. Brilliant stuff. I thought we started the second half really poorly, though. We sat in, and, you know, I think Neil McCann made a point in commentary that the midfield, there was no difference between the midfield
and defenders.
And defence, where they're all sitting on top of each other. Then, of course, they get the goal. Again, Gunn just...
got to do better.
I have to save that.
It's got to do better.
You have to save that.
It's got two hands on it.
It wasn't even a particularly powerful shot from Fernandez.
Butterfingers.
And yeah, he has to be saving that.
But then afterwards.
But just before we get to that, the sort of 10, 15 minutes after that, I thought we reacted really, really well with the goal. We pushed up. We played a lot of the game in the Portuguese half. You know, we had a couple of shots blocked and all the rest of it. Mm-hmm. I thought we looked fairly comfortable.
Loads of corners.
And I know you're probably going to disagree with this. And I don't think it was the wrong thing to take him off necessarily. But I think when Dykes went off, we lost the ability to hold the ball up. And that's no slight on Conway.
No.
Because he's just a young boy. I thought Dykes held the ball up excellently last night and just bought us some time, bought us some free kicks, and brought other players into play.
I thought the changes that Portugal made a difference to them as well.
Of course, yeah, because they can bring on
serious
quality. And Ronaldo coming on made a difference as well. Just his presence almost.
100%. I thought overall last night, right, we're going to be brutally honest because we are on this podcast. Portugal deserved to win. It was cruel the way that we lost, but Portugal deserved to win.
Yeah.
And Angus Gunn goes from a plonker to Superman because when he makes that mistake for the Fernandes goal, he turned into Superman. Nothing was getting past him. He made some world-class saves.
The one from the header, I thought, in particular, was unbelievable.
Diego Jota. I thought João Félix when he's through and goal.
Yep.
The back heel from Ronaldo, he spreads himself, hits his left foot. Brilliant save. The one with the header for Ronaldo hits the inside of the post. João Félix is steaming in to head it in and he gets up quick and he punches the ball clear. I thought Gunn, after the mistake, was sensational. And if anyone deserved to get a draw last night, he did because he made up for the mistake for the Fernandes goal or it could have been a worse result for Scotland. I thought overall we played well. And this is where I have an issue. I've never really been a fan of Steve Clarke. And on this podcast, over the years, I hate the back five. It's the same with Hearts. I hate the back five. And I've always screamed that I think Scotland have got a squad of players that fits a back four with a two, a three, and a one with the type of players that we've got. And this is going to sound really weird. I didn't mind that we lost last night because of the way we played. Because we were positive, we were on the front foot, and when we had an opportunity to go forward, we did. There were times last night we were 4-3. We were getting forward with Christie, McTominay, Dykes and McGinn. And we were attacking with them at pace because Gilmore was finding those passes in the pocket.
Gilmore was excellent.
He was outstanding. There was very rarely did he misplace a pass. So I was really encouraged on Thursday. I was encouraged last night. We lose both games. But while I was watching, I'm going, see if Steve Clarke had played that team or that formation against Hungary, we win. If we played like that against Hungary, we win that game. But you went with a handbrake on and to maybe attack it in the last 15 minutes when it's 0-0. So I think, as I said, remember we said this, we hope that he learns something from the Euros and that he changes his way. Now, this is one of two things. Has Steve Clarke changed his ways because Kieran Tierney is injured? Mm-hmm. And once Kieran Tierney returns, does he revert back to type and go with the back five? Because I think Poland and Portugal... and that philosophy, that setup suits us better. yes, we've lost, but I don't think we deserve to lose against Poland. In fact, we deserve to beat Poland. I thought last night we deserved to lose the game, but we were in it, and we were 4 minutes away from getting a draw.
You know what? When I was watching the game last night, I was like, why couldn't we have played like this against Germany in the summer?
I know.
Because, like, Portugal are a very good side. Like, they've got world-class players.
Look at their bench.
And as you say, like, the quality they've got off their bench as well is unbelievable. So, but you're totally right. When we could attack, we did.
Aye.
We looked pretty threatening at times.
Totally.
I thought McTominay was outstanding.
The guy's sensational.
He was great against Poland as well.
Can I just say, see, when you talk about McTominay there, McTominay and Gilmore for me were the two best players on the pitch. Dykes did well, don't get me wrong, but in regards to their passing, breaking the lines.
Yeah, totally, yeah.
Opening up, and the goal that he scored, McTominay and Gilmore, brilliant.
I also thought Christie played well.
Christie was very good. One man that we've not mentioned because he's injured. Can you imagine McTominay, Gilmore and Ferguson in that midfield three?
Mm-hmm.
He's still to come back.
Yeah.
And he's been outstanding in Serie A. We've got a really good squad of players, and I've always believed that. And if Steve Clark has learned something from Germany, and this is what he's trying to do going forward, then I'm quite willing to give him a wee bit more time. And I say that because there is a fear, and there's every likelihood, that by the end of this Nations League, it'll be 1-1 in 18. But as I said last night on Twitter, I don't mind losing. As long as we're in the game and we're having a go, these are better nations than us. They're better teams than us. Yeah. They've got better quality than us. But we were in that game last night and we're 4 minutes away from a brilliant draw in Lisbon. Yes, they battered us at times. Yes, Gunn saved us at times. But we also create some really good chances. And had we taken one of those chances, it could have been a completely different picture. Could end up being a draw or a narrow win for Scotland, possibly against the run of play, yes. But that's what happens when you are a nation that is a lesser nation, yep, against one of the top A-grade nations. So I'm now in a quandary where I was calling for Clark's head. I'm not calling for his head today. I'm not calling for his head after Poland because that's what I want to see from a Scotland team.
So you're saying that, like, the last two performances
have
given you enough encouragement, yeah, and positivity that you think that Clark's went, okay, I can see what I can do with this squad now. Obviously, as you pointed out, we're coming up against nations and teams that when you make a mistake, you get punished.
Totally.
Because they are better than what we would usually be playing against.
Correct.
And that's obviously what's happened over the past couple of games. However...
Oh, wait. Seems how you do however. I'm going to caveat what I said and I'm going to ask this question. I'm doing Super Scoreboard tonight at 6 o'clock. And I'm going to ask this question of the people who will be listening and phoning in. I'm willing to give Steve Clark another chance based on the last two performances. But my question will be this. Having said that, has he taken his team as far as it goes and do we need someone fresh in to take it to the next level? Or can he do that?
Okay. Yeah, and no, I think that's totally fair enough. And you know what? See if we'd come out of these two games being really poor.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, it was sort of same old, same old.
Uh-huh.
Now, I know people will be like, oh, it's 1-1 in 14 and stuff like that. And yeah, that's obviously very bad. But I think you need to look at the actual games and look at the performances. Mm-hmm. Had it been same old, I'd have been probably sat here going, yeah, I think we've had enough now. I think he probably needs to move on. But yeah, I agree with you. I think it was weirdly positive on Thursday night, even though I told, you know, kicking the stones, losing the penalty in the last minute. But, you know, sometimes, like we spoke about this on the big Saturday football show as well. We went through the team, like obviously big mistake from Hanley, mistake from Gunn. But where's the other goalkeeper that we're bringing in? That's not Steve Clark's fault that we don't have another goalkeeper who's a good goalkeeper.
Would you be looking at Craig Gordon again now that he's the number one at Hearts?
No.
You wouldn't?
No, I wouldn't. And, you know, it was funny. Obviously, you were talking about Simon Murray last week and you made a big play about, you know, bringing through younger faces. Simon Murray's 32 years old.
Oh, no, I know that. And I acknowledged that on Twitter and I had a few debates about it.
But no, just to get back, like, you know, and then Hanley, like, yep, he's a player that's playing in the Championship. But do you bring in Ryan Porteous, a guy who's also playing in the Championship, not really getting a game this season for Watford as well?
Mm-hmm.
Jack Hendry's in Saudi Arabia, not a great standard. I think he's injured just now anyway, so he wouldn't have been playing. Liam Cooper as well, these are Championship level defenders.
But I just, again, we mentioned this on Saturday. Let's be honest here, and every Scotland fan has to agree with this. Hanley was one of our best performers
at
the Euros.
Of course, yeah.
He was outstanding. He was a rock.
I thought he played really well last night as well.
So you did nothing wrong last night.
And obviously for the second goal, McKenna gets completely, you know, he's more interested in Ronaldo than actually knowing where the ball is.
There's better defenders than McKenna that Ronaldo's done that to.
Precisely. I thought McKenna did pretty well.
I like McKenna
as well. Mm-hmm. And again, Anthony Ralston gets a lot of slagging. Because I think, I think Anthony Ralston knows that he's not the best right back. He's not the, he knows. But I think over the two games, the penalty against Poland aside, I thought he played really well. I thought he was solid.
I actually think he was one of Scotland's best players last night. Gilmore for me was a standout. McTominay does McTominay things, but I put in the group chat, I'm in love with Billy Gilmore. We are lucky to have him.
Yeah,
he would get in a Spain team.
I think he's
that tidy a footballer, and he's always passing forward, and he sees pictures. You notice when the ball comes into him, he hit the wee flicks and round the corner and everything.
He's excellent.
He's unbelievable.
And I think like you, I'm looking forward to Lewis Ferguson coming back.
Those three together.
Obviously, he's had a bad injury, so you don't know what it's going to be like when he comes back. But yeah,
John.
Yes, Ewan.
Go on Google for me. How old is Billy Gilmore? Because
he's 20. Is he not just turned 21?
Yeah, he's.
Something's,
he's 21, 22.
If that's him now at 21, 22, what's he going to be like in 4 or 5 years' time? I mean, the boy is outstanding. And I was mighty impressed with him. He's 23. He gets into most national teams, that boy. He's that good. And we're lucky to have McTominay, and I'm looking forward to Lewis Ferguson. Can we talk about John McGinn for a second?
Mm-hmm.
He was very good at winning free kicks last night, but he's not very effective, and he hasn't been effective for Scotland for a while. Why is that? Is it the role he's been asked to play?
Possibly.
Steve Cowan said on the big Saturday football show,
former Hibs and Aberdeen striker,
that he thinks he's not even played that well for Aston Villa.
I don't think
months.
He has. I think John McGinn looks tired all the time. I think John McGinn would probably benefit from being out the Aston Villa team for a wee bit, mm-hmm. or maybe picking up a wee injury. Obviously nothing too serious, but you know, something that
I know what you mean.
Something that keeps him out for maybe 6 weeks or something, so he can just have a wee bit of rest. I think he looks knackered mm-hmm. all the time.
Do you think Clark should maybe look at maybe putting him on the bench and maybe using him later on in the second half?
It's hard not to start McGinn. It's really hard not to start McGinn. I did actually think when the subs came on last night, and again, nothing against them, I thought we lost a bit. I thought, I don't remember Gold really touching the ball.
Portugal were all over us.
We were, but it didn't really have any of the desired effect.
Do you know why? And I was the only thing that I would criticise Clark for last night, I thought he made the substitutions far too late. It didn't give the players a chance to get into the game. They're really late substitutions, whereas Portugal made their substitutions very early on.
But they were chasing the game.
But
so
I thought we looked dead on our feet, and I thought he made a change. I mean, he's making changes in the 84th minute. He brought Conway on in the 84th minute. What do you expect the boy to do?
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. I don't think it's nothing on those boys.
No, I think my only criticism, Clark made the changes way too late, that the boys didn't have enough time to get into the game. And by that time in the 84th minute...
The counter to that, though, is like, if are you just then bringing on boys just for the sake of it, in terms of, you know, like, we're doing quite well like this, let's not rock the boat, let's keep it as it is, let's keep our shape, stuff like that. Mm. No, I get what you're saying. I'm just saying that would be the counter.
Whereas you look on Thursday night, they all got about 20 minutes and Neil had an effect to the game. I thought he brought them on way too late last night.
Fair enough. Yeah, fair enough. But yeah, bizarre, because again, 1-1 and 14, honking.
I can't believe I'm sticking up for Clark just now.
But I think that says a lot about the way that we played over the two games.
Like, totally.
I think, as I go back to it, had we played the sort of same old, like it was in the summer or whatever, I'd have probably been sitting here thinking, yeah, I think it's time for him to go. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that. I think that he has looked and went, nah, I think we can play in a slightly different way and be a little bit more effective. Now, when it comes to the World Cup qualification group, we're obviously going to be having, I mean, it looks like we're going to be at least a second seed, maybe a third, hopefully not. But, you know, hopefully we're a second seed. So we're going to have one of the big boys in with us.
Yeah.
Then it's going to be teams who we can go and dominate the ball and try and defeat.
Yeah.
So
it's going to be tough.
Put it this way. If somebody said to me, you'll get pumped in all your matches in the Nations League, but you'll qualify for the World Cup, I'll take that.
I'll take that 100%.
So that, and as long as there needs to be a wee bit of eyes on the prize, I think.
But again, if we're to go 1-1 and 18 by the end of this Nations League, I want to see us continue in this positive fashion. And if I see that and I see progress, and if we're losing because of a late goal or we're losing by the odd goal or if we get draws or whatever, then I'm willing to give Clark the benefit of the doubt. But I do think that question stands up. Has Clark taken this team as far as it can go, and does it need a fresh approach with the new players that are coming in? That's an interesting one to debate, and I'm not quite sure if that's the answer. But who would that manager be? I have no idea.
Yeah.
But is he the one to take us on? Has he done enough? Has he got the best out of that team, and it needs someone new? Does it?
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously the debate, and we don't know unless it happens, I guess.
We'll talk about the night in Super Scoreboard.
Okay, Ewan is on Super Scoreboard tonight, and Super Scoreboard is on every night, of course, from 6 o'clock back on Saturday with the club stuff as well, obviously. There was also the Challenge Cup at the weekend. We'll quickly spin through that. Arbroath beating Montrose 3-0 in an Angus derby. Morton squeezing past Cowdenbeath. Dunfermline getting a first win of the season.
Hey!
A Fife derby against these Fife, and there's another Fife derby coming up on Friday night. Actually, it's Dunfermline versus Raith Rovers. We're going to be joined by a Raith Rovers fan later on in the show. They've got a new manager.
So they have. So is that game on the telly?
It is on the telly on Friday night.
Exactly. Oh, good, I'll
watch that. So BBC Scotland Channel. So 2-0 it was against East Fife. East Kilbride beating Cove Rangers. Inverness beating Stirling. Kelty are through as well. Partick Thistle, poor start to the season. Alloa beating them at Fir Hill 3-1.
And the Partick Thistle were one up as well.
Yeah, they were. Peterhead beating Dumbarton, Queen of the South, losing 3-0 at Airdrie, Livingston beating the Spartans. And it says here, I'm really confused with this, because I thought John would have been through, but because Stenhouse Muir won, Falkirk won, Stenhouse Muir win 5-4 on penalties.
He's very quiet, where is he?
I believe Stenhouse Muir scored all of their penalties.
That door hasn't opened up.
I don't know, see if he comes in. Because I've mentioned Falkirk now, because he usually comes steaming through the door at this point. So,
and he's got his phone with Amarillo playing.
Yeah,
it's very quiet, isn't it?
Very quiet.
The sound
it's
of
eerie.
Silence.
Very eerie.
The silence is deafening.
We can move on to VAR.
Are you there, John? No. Before we go, we've had
of VAR stuff to talk about.
Were you there on Saturday, John?
How did you go?
I was, yes.
How was it getting beat against a team who were in
League
2 last season?
Can I just say, and it's the first time I've ever seen this in live football, and I would say this right now, Ryan Shanley is a better player than Lionel Messi. How someone can slip and touch the ball twice and score a penalty, Messi couldn't even do that. So
so you're robbed by Stenhouse Muir, is that what you're saying in the Challenge
Cup? It was one of those games.
Aye. So you're saying one of the penalties was a double touch?
Yes, it was. Right.
So if you'd noticed that from the stands, how did
No, that was during the game. That was during the game. During the game, and it was then disallowed because he touched it twice and slipped.
All right, so it did get disallowed then?
Yes.
Right, so what are you moaning about?
Well, I'm just saying he's better than Messi, and Messi couldn't even do that.
Right, okay. You know, since it's our 100th episode, you know, we've had many, many people on the show over the years. So, John, we've got a wee clip to play from someone who used to appear on the show all the time.
All right, okay.
So if you could just play that.
Hey guys, it's me, your favourite used to be president, Joey B. And I hope you all miss me with all my extra time now. I want to see the best team in Falkirk, my beloved Stenhouse Muir. Hey, producer John, I'm not seeing you running around the studio today. What happened to your crap, Falkirk? Smell you later, boys. Up the Sten Y.
There he is. The outgoing president, Mr. Joe Biden,
up
back
the
on the show.
Why?
Sten Y.
Up the Sten Y. Right, let's do a wee VAR WTF, shall we, please?
La gente está muy loca. What the fuck?
Now, obviously, there was only the two Scotland games. The McTominay handball, quite rightly, ruled out on Thursday night. No real problems there. But the one I wanted to draw attention to last night... Now, I've seen a few pictures circulating on social media about Portugal's equaliser last night. Now, obviously, there's nothing wrong with Bruno Fernandes' strike. There's no foul in the build-up. However, Cristiano Ronaldo appears to be in an offside position when Fernandes, A, hits it, and B, it takes a wee deflection as well off the Portuguese boy, and Ronaldo is standing right in front of Angus Gunn. Now, surely that is interfering with play.
See, I didn't notice that, and nobody mentioned it last night when watching the game.
I've seen it a few times this morning, and like, it's tight, don't get me wrong. He may well not be offside. It looks very, very tight, and I assume that they would check it, because if he's offside, he's interfering with play and the goal has to be chopped off.
But then that's an object. What's the word? That's a decision. You don't want to re-referee the game, and that is subjective. That's subjective. So the VAR may have... Because what they do, they always check a goal. They always check a goal and they kind of run through it very quickly, which is why it takes a few more seconds for the game to restart, because they do check the goal.
So I'm going to show you. This is the strike there. Look where Ronaldo
is. Yeah. He's in front of Gunn.
He's right in front of Gunn.
But the thing is, though, again, it's subjective, isn't it? And I mean, that angle would suggest he is, but who's the fullback? Where's Robertson?
No. I'll show
where's
you that.
Ralston?
I'll show you that as well. So there's Ronaldo. When the initial strike comes in, it's very tight.
Yeah, it's very tight.
And then obviously it takes a deflection.
Yeah, I can see why you could maybe... I mean, again, I'm guessing VAR did look at that, because they always have to check every goal before they give the referee the go-ahead to restart the game. I think, again, it's subjective, and I think VAR have looked at him going, nah, the goalkeeper can see around him and can see the shot coming in. And at that pace, they're probably just... Yeah, I listen, see if that was against Hearts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
And
I
it's Hibs scoring
and again,
that goal.
And I'm again... Going, yeah. Before anyone goes, oh, you're clutching the straws or the sour grapes or that, it's absolutely not. We've acknowledged that Portugal were the better team and deserved to win. But, you know, fair's fair.
It's amazing that nobody else spotted that.
Yeah.
Like in the commentary or in the telly people or. Yeah. Good one.
Right. Okay. That is your VAR for this week. It'll be back next week. But you are listening to the Big Scottish Football Podcast.
The Big Scottish Football Podcast.
Told you.
With Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Right. It's time for Overrated, Underrated. Last week, it was nominated by Beth Wallace, who is our colleague on the Big Saturday Football Show. She does All Stuff Aberdeen. And she said, pitch invasions are overrated. Ewan Cameron.
Pitch invasions are overrated. And this is all because of what happened last week with Ross County versus Aberdeen.
When they Aberdeen spilled out onto the pitch because they got a last minute winner. Kevin Nisbet scoring and all the rest of it. So, to be fair, we got a mixed response. Some people saying, I love a pitch invasion.
It's I didn't great. See that type of invasion doesn't bother me, because they're celebrating with the players and they're not in the middle of the pitch. They're just by the goal line and the goal mouth. And I just think it's excitement. It adds colour. I don't have an issue with that. I don't like the full on pitch invasion where they're running on the centre circle, they're running down the tunnel and all that.
Did you see the pitch invasion last night when Portugal were on the attack?
Oh, the boy!
And the ball got laid wide to Ronaldo and he was trying to take a selfie with him.
Aye. The boy ran onto the pitch to take a selfie when the ball wasn't
mental.
So, to be fair,
I think we can all agree that's a stupid pitch invasion. We're talking about the pitch invasions that you were just describing there.
Yes, I don't mind that pitch invasion for a last minute goal.
Okay.
I think it's amazing. One of the most famous pitch invasions of all time was that goal in the FA Cup in the 1970s. Is that Ronnie Radford scores a thunderbolt against Newcastle and they're like a non-league club.
Oh, yeah,
in the top corner.
Hereford or something.
Hereford. Aye, I think you're right. And the players run to the pitch. It's one of the most iconic FA Cup moments, and it's made because of the pitch invasion. That's why people remember it. I don't mind it for things like that.
Okay.
So
it's a case-by-case basis with
yeah,
you.
I think so.
Okay, well, listen, Twitter has spoken and we have a result. Can I have a drum roll, please? 65% of people say yes, it's overrated.
Is it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, for next week, overrated, underrated.
Right, I've got one. I think this is really overrated, right? I mean, properly overrated. I've got no interest in this whatsoever. So, producer George, you're going to have to get the beat machine.
I don't even know what that is. I genuinely don't even know what that is.
I'm going to explain it to you.
No, I don't want to know. I genuinely don't want to know what it is.
You're in the beeps not long enough to explain this.
No, it's just two words. Poop.
Jesus Christ. That's horrific. That's the most horrific one you've done yet. I know you're doing this just to get a reaction out of me, and it's working. That is horrific. That's horrendous.
I didn't even know it existed until I did a Google search. Jesus.
On the work computer.
Jesus Christ.
No, I didn't do it on the work computer. So, have you ever heard of it?
No, I've not.
You ever done it?
No. Well, that's the worst one yet.
Producer John?
No! No one's done that!
Oh, they have. There's a specialist aisle in Holland for it.
A specialist aisle in Holland? Like an island?
No, aisle.
Like in a supermarket?
Aye.
What, do you buy them? They're frozen.
I'll tell you more off air. All right, I'll tell you more afterwards.
That is grotesque.
Because I've seen it in Holland. I didn't intentionally go to see it in Holland, but I saw it in Holland.
That's grim. That's genuinely one of the grimmest things you've ever said.
All right, anyway.
So, I'm not going to go for anything football-related this week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What's happened in your life that you need to get underrated or overrated on?
Because it's just something that has annoyed me. And since it's our 100th episode, I thought we might have had some of these in the studio today. So, I'm going, balloons are overrated.
For the 100th episode?
I think balloons are shite. I'm sorry if you run a balloon shop.
Well, all balloons.
All balloons.
Helium balloons.
All the balloons.
They've got happy birthday written on it.
All the balloons are rubbish.
What about the Disney helium balloons?
Rubbish.
Kids love helium balloons that have
once you've seen a balloon.
Like Woody.
Or held a balloon.
Woody balloon. Helium balloon.
I'm familiar with balloons. Like, once you've had a balloon, once in your life, you've had all the balloons. There is no enjoyment to get out of it. What enjoyment do you get out of balloons? Apart from that thing where you rub it on your head and then put it on someone's hair. Apart from that, rub it on your clothes.
I've played games with balloons where you put them between your legs and you've got to like waddle over to another person and they've got to take it from...
You could do that with anything though.
Yeah, you could. But then you've got the jeopardy of exploding and banging and giving you a wee fright and all that. I used to wear...
A wee fright.
I used to... remember when you were like wee... And you put the balloons up your jersey and pretend you had boobies.
But you could, again, you could, there are other things you could do that way. I don't know, fruit.
Yeah, you could.
Yeah.
But that's what you did with balloons.
No,
I know. I never pick up a bit of fruit and go, I'm going to pretend to have boobies. I did it when I was a kid with balloons. I'd walk around with my pals and go, I've got boobies.
I get that.
But you, under no circumstances do you like balloons for anything.
I think they're rubbish. I think balloons are rubbish. There's no need for balloons.
Is that why we don't have any balloons in here for our 100th episode?
I'm glad we don't have balloons here. So anyway, balloons, they're overrated, okay? Get in touch at Big Football Scott, and you can leave your comments on YouTube as well on the Super Scoreboard YouTube channel. Make sure you subscribe as well there. And a wee reminder that Clyde on Super Scoreboard is obviously on every night from 6 o'clock. You and Cameron's on tonight. And we are on every single Saturday with the Big Saturday Football Show across the rest of the network, across the rest of Scotland.
Yes.
With former Hibs and Aberdeen striker, Steve Cowan. Okay, right, it's time to move on to this then. Right, we've got a mystery footballer. This is what we know about him. They haven't played international at senior level, but they have at youth levels. They're still playing. They haven't played for any of the teams that we support on this podcast, which is Hearts, Dunfermline and Falkirk. They've won major titles in Scotland and they've played down south. The overwhelming evidence is pointing to Scott Allen.
Correct.
Do we just go for Scott Allen today?
And rule him out completely? In or out?
Because see if it is Scott Allen.
We're going to batter
him. I'm going to go off my rocker at producer John. Because it's the laziest.
Yeah.
Laziest. He started doing some Super Scoreboard stuff. I know he's done it in the past, but he's more regular this season. And he's just gone for the first person that he's seen in the office one day. And I think...
It could be Scott Allen.
It could be Scott Allen.
And lots of the people who listen to the show think it's Scott Allen as one. They just want that one to be the ruled in or ruled out.
I mean, what I would say is, there is another question from somebody who's got in touch. Question for the Mass Footballer, have you played for either side of the Old Firm?
That's a good question.
But then...
That's Scott Allen again.
Scott Allen again.
So what we'll do is, let's rule out or in Scott Allen today, and then we'll do the Old Firm question next week, because then that narrows it down further.
What if it is Scott Allen, though?
Well, I'm going to run out here into that cubby hole, the wee booth where he sits.
And batter him.
And I'm going to hit him.
Yeah. Okay, so are we ready for it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Do you want to do the honours?
No, I'll let you do it, mate.
Okay, question for the mass footballer. We're going for it. Are you Scott Allen?
Correct, it's me, Scott Allen.
You're so lazy, John! Go and get him! Go and get him! You are so lazy!
I can't even get out!
You need your pass!
I need my pass!
It's kind of lost. Alright, right, go. Like, John! You're so lazy! I asked you to get somebody good! I mean, Scott Allen is good. He's a nice guy. He's still playing and stuff.
Where is he? He's not even here.
Is he gone?
Ah! Dyer! Leave me alone! Unbelievable!
No! That's unacceptable.
That's disgusting.
Unacceptable.
It is unacceptable. It's lasted 4 weeks.
Because of your laziness.
I'm going to HR about you too.
You could have got anyone.
Right, can I just explain myself here, right? This idea that you came up with, Stephen,
yeah,
was thrown upon me with about a day to go with
no,
the podcast.
No, it wasn't.
I just thought, well, no, who can I get?
No,
I
it wasn't.
Thought, Scott's not on Super Scoreboard that often.
No.
He has been.
He is on
quite,
Super Scoreboard.
He is now this season, to be fair.
Right. But No. I sent you an email, John.
That was ages ago. We hadn't confirmed.
Read the email.
Right.
Wait, where are we?
That was ages ago.
It wasn't ages ago. I've got it. I will find it. It's in my work emails.
Right. Anyway, so well done, guys. Good sleuthing.
Well, you need to get another one for next week.
I need to get another one. What about Brian Graham? I asked Brian Graham at first that he couldn't do it. He had to go.
What do you mean he couldn't do it? All I need to do is go,
I know, but he rushed out the door.
No, but even just get him to send you a WhatsApp message. Scott Allen, Jesus Christ. I emailed you on, when is it?
I think he's okay.
The 3rd of July.
3rd of July.
We weren't back until the end of July, John.
But
so
we had
bullshit.
We had to decide.
Bullshit, John. Bullshit.
Absolute BS.
Bullshit.
Okay, well,
so you need to get another one. I tell you what, right? We'll rest it for next week. Then I'm away on holiday for a couple of weeks.
Uh huh.
And then we'll have that. Is that enough time for you? 3 weeks.
I can get you one for next week if you want.
Right, if you can.
All right, okay. Well, it'll be Hugh Keevens next week or something like that.
And John, do you know this thing called WhatsApp? They don't have to be in this building to record it. They could send you a WhatsApp by going.
I don't know that many footballers.
No, but you know people who know
footballers. Can you get somebody to go aye or no on a WhatsApp message and just to say, yes, it's me, bloody blah? Right. It'd take 2 seconds.
Utter sheer laziness, and I'm not buying your bullshit excuses, so get it sorted, John.
I'm putting in a complaint to the boss.
Unbelievable.
I'm putting in a complaint. You just battered me in the studio.
I didn't. I just threw a chair at you.
Yeah, exactly. right then. Let's move on to Round the Grounds, and we'll park that for the moment. So each week we are taking a wee spin round Scottish football, just to get everyone's chat. Thanks to Gordon from Tartan Scarf coming on last week, and Ewan Two Footnam every opportunity. We've also had guys on for the Wine and Shuffle, which is the Inverness podcast. Obviously lots of problems there this evening. We've had a Hibs fan on, we've had a Rangers fan on, and this week I think it's only right that we speak to a Raith Rovers fan. So they have a new manager finally. I think it was 30 days after they sacked Ian Murray. Neil Collins has taken over at Starts Park, so former Barnsley and Tampa Bay Rowdies manager. And I believe we've got Scott Fleming from the Oh No 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 Raith Rovers podcast. Are you there, Scott?
Yeah, here, mate.
How you doing, mate? You okay, pal?
Yeah, all good, cheers.
Oh, wait. What? Is this the boy that messaged us last week?
Yes,
right,
yes,
Scott. See the abuse that I got after reading your message last week when you said, oh, Barry Robson's the next Raith Rovers manager. I've got the breaking news. I've got the news for you for the podcast. Turned out, wasn't it Barry Robson?
Also, if you read the message, did I say Barry Robson was getting the job?
Well, you didn't quite say that.
So you've embellished what Scott said, basically.
He said he was at the top of a list or was in the running.
What was he in the running?
There was a short list that Andrew Barryman had told the whole fan base that they went for, and Healy was not on that short list. Then that fell through, so they had to go back to names that they were either had talked to or names that hadn't talked to, and Robson's name had came up that week is what had happened.
Right. And did Robson get approached?
That I don't know.
Right. My next question is this. The manager you've got right now was, I think, the 23rd on that list. You had 22 managers previous to that saying, no, get stuffed. Why did nobody want that job?
Well, I don't know if you've seen, obviously, any of the interviews that Collins has done since he's came in. Collins was actually interviewed for the job in the first sort of interview process. And he was actually offered, from what we were told, he was offered the job, and he turned it down due to other commitments. I think it was to do with the fact he was living down south. He's got four young kids as well, so he had to think about that side of stuff. Then once the Healy thing fell through, it seemed to be that maybe we just decided, look, we'll go back to him. Whether we've given him a better offer or we've given him better circumstances, I don't know. But that's the way that the club have said. And to be honest, I kind of believe him at the same time, because that's the way that the board have been. They've been very transparent since they've came in.
So I've got the quote here from Andy Barrowman. It's worth noting that Neil was our top choice from very early on in the process, and while we initially faced challenges in securing his services, we were determined not to give up. I mean, I guess you have to take Andy Barrowman at face value in what he's saying there, but surely, I mean, you're not believing that he was the top choice, surely.
Yeah, I mean, does anybody ever really know who the top choice is for?
Of course, like, yeah, of course, I don't disagree with that at all. But I mean, that's clear. Like, I mean, he's clearly just saying that. I mean, it's taken 30 days.
Well, didn't get me wrong. When we were on the podcast talking about it, I was one of the first ones that I didn't agree with the sacking in the first place, but also I also was quite outspoken in terms of why has it taken so long. But then when we were told, look, we've approached this guy already, we spoke to this guy already, he actually turned the job down from what we've been told, then they've clearly went, well, the other guy they went for, which was David Healy, and it came out that he was literally 24 hours away from becoming Raith Rovers manager, then last minute changed his mind or whatever happened there, and then we've went back to Neil Collins. So that is literally the way that it's panned out.
So you went back to Neil Collins clearly with a better offer? And he couldn't turn it down.
Whether we've gone in with more money or we've offered them better circumstances in terms of a budget to work with, I don't know. At the end of the day, we're only going off of what we're getting told from the board.
Of course. Yeah, absolutely. You can only, I guess you can only take it at face value. You said that you were a wee bit disappointed that it took 30 days. Obviously, you were a wee bit disappointed with Ian Murray losing his job as well. It feels like, I guess, within the fan base, and correct me if I'm wrong, you were looking to kick on this season, because obviously last season was Raith Rovers' best season in, what, you know, more than a decade, since the, what, 2011 season. So it just feels like it's been such a stuttering start to the season for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you told us at the start of the season that we were going to be off to such a poor start, I'm not sure really any fan base would agree that everybody had us at least in the top four from what I've seen at the start of the season. Mm-hmm. So I think, you'll know yourself, Stephen, when it comes to injuries, we've gone through our fair share already this season, and Dunfermline went through it last year, but we're missing, as it stands, still about six starters that were in our starting lineup more often than not from last season. So when you're kind of missing what more than half of your starting team, you're going to start to see like a difference there. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I still think when we've brought in guys like Paul Hanlon and Lewis Stevenson, who have got the experience that they've had in their career, I think that they guys will help us in the long run. But I just think right now the fact that we've been chopping and changing with manager hasn't helped with trying to bed the new sort of systems and players into place yet.
Scott, I've just been looking there at Raith Rovers' recent results, and it's not been the best start to the season. And Raith Rovers, for me, when we were talking about it, I said, well, they'll be there or there's about for the title. Do you still think you'll put in a title challenge?
I think the fact that we're literally still just over a week into September, I don't think you can say, like, you couldn't even rule out that somebody like in the top four right now could even be down where we are in 3 months' time. Like, the Championship is genuinely one of the most unique leagues, not in just Britain, in the world. Like, it's this season especially, it's so tight. And the fact that we're even still, like, if we win on Friday night, we could go for like ninth to third or something like that. That's how mental it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
So do you think you've still got a chance of winning the title and winning promotion?
I think promotion is still not out of the question.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And you'll beat Dunfermline on Friday night, aye?
I think if we're going off last season anyway, it'll not be an issue.
Yeah, I mean, like last season was obviously terrible. So I can't. I'm going into Friday night's game with absolutely zero confidence whatsoever. What sort of crowd do you think it'll be? A big Rovers crowd through from Kirkcaldy?
I think we'll still have a pretty decent showing. I think the fact that it's on TV on a Friday night might take a few numbers off it as well. And you get that's the same. You get like a few added on to it, especially at our level when you're doing really well or really poorly, it goes the other way. So yeah. I can see us probably still close to about 2,000 coming through, I would have thought.
Okay. Are you going yourself, Scott?
Unfortunately, no. No, I actually work abroad now, so I'm,
all right.
I'm not able to get there. But
where
actually,
are you?
For me, it's on the TV.
Where are you?
In the Netherlands.
Oh, nice one. Where about?
Just outside Utrecht.
Oh, lovely stuff. Excellent. Okay.
We were just talking about Holland earlier.
Yeah, we can't talk about that, Ewan.
No, we can't.
We absolutely cannot talk about that. No. It was completely unrelated. just a couple of questions to finish then, Scott. You know, like, obviously, last season was a great season for you guys. And the new sort of, not owners, I guess, but the new sort of like board members came in, and it looks like they've swept a lot away and made loads of changes as well. But they're obviously, you need to get to the Premiership. I mean, you know, you're looking at the players that you're bringing in. There's obviously a lot of money being spent in wages. And again, I'm not having a go at that at all. But Raith Rovers, if they keep spending at this level, need to get into the Premiership. That has to be the aim. If not this season, definitely next season.
Yeah, I think, don't get me wrong, I think we as a club now have definitely got higher ambitions since this new sort of board have came in. Like they've shown in the first season. I think the first season's kind of been a little bit faster than everybody expected. I don't think anybody thought that we would run Dundee United till like what, 3 games to go in the season. And I don't think that anybody thought that we were going to be favourites for the title this season if you spoke to us last season. But I think there seems to be, especially online, there seems to be this thing that we are splashing some amount of cash that's like almost never been seen before, which I don't get, because at the end of the day, guys like Stevenson and Hanley, yes, they'll be on more than what maybe your average Championship player will be on, but they'll have taken definitely, I know they've taken a decent cut to come to us, because we've also offered them maybe like coaching badges or something in that deal as well. And also, when you're seeing clubs like Partick coming out every week and moaning, saying that they're needing money, and then they go and make another sign, and you're going, well, where's your money going? Because at the same time, they're meant to be these guys that are going for the title as well, but yet they're moaning about finances and stuff like that. But
yeah, no, listen, I'm not picking on Raith Rovers at all.
You are.
I was actually going to bring up Partick Thistle, and I was going to bring up Ayr United as well, and obviously Queen's Park, who have the ability to dip in and you know sign these players. We saw it last season as well, obviously, because I think ultimately, and you know, I wish my club Dunfermline probably dipped their pockets a wee bit more in terms of spending money, because to get out of the Championship, you do need to spend money. Like, you do need to sign better players to get out of the Championship, because it is really competitive.
Yeah, absolutely. I think right now, we've been saying on the podcast now for a couple of weeks that we reckon that once everybody's back fit again and we're sort of back to the sort of squad of 18 that we want to be, and then also if we brought in one or two more loan signings that are, because I think we're needing another striker that's different to what we've got. Right now, we've got too many strikers that are too similar. So if we can get some sort of maybe a, not necessarily a target man, but just somebody that can be sort of a penalty box striker, because we've got too many guys that like to run channels and they're good for stretching defences, but they're not necessarily going to get you 15 goals a season, which right now we need that.
Yeah, 100%. Well, listen, Scott, wish you all the best for the rest of the season. Obviously not on Friday night against my team, Dunfermline. But yeah, genuinely, I don't mind Raith Rovers, you know, being competitive and being good, because it was a rivalry that when I was growing up, it just really wasn't a thing, because Dunfermline were spending loads of money and in the Premier League and stuff like that as well. So it wasn't really a rivalry that, you know, I have a lot of investment in, and as you know, if you listen to the podcast, it's more Falkirk. But you know, genuinely, I love having the Fife Derby, and it's great that you know that we're in the same league. And I'm really looking forward to going along on Friday night to East End Park. And
are you
hopefully,
going?
Yep, I'm going on Friday night. So,
I hope Wraith Rovers beat them just to ruin his weekend.
Well, I hope not. I hope that would be terrible. So, Scott, listen, all the best. Thanks so much for coming on the podcast, and enjoy the Netherlands. All right,
cheers, mate.
All right, cheers.
Cheers, thank you, Scott. And there he goes, that's Scott Fleming from the Oh No 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 Wraith Rovers podcast. So that is just about it. Oh no, we need to do the quiz, don't we? Yes. Right then, it is time for the quiz. It's our shootout quiz, if you've never seen it before. Where have you been for the last 100 episodes? So it's changed format over those 100 episodes because Ewan spat the dummy at various points. And it's good to have it. And Ewan, remind me, how many have you won this season?
It's irrelevant, Steve. It's all about the here and now.
All about here and now. The answer is zero. He's not won any this season. I've won all the quizzes this season. It's been tight a couple of times.
Stop waffling. He's trying to wind me up already.
I've been teasing you for a wee bit.
Yeah,
you know.
Let's just get to producer John. He's got five questions. We write down our answer, yep, and we'll see who wins at the end of it. It's as simple as that. He's waffling to wind
you
me up.
You can get a top bin question that's worth 2 points as well. Yes. If it's all square after five questions, then we go to a tie break.
Correct.
And here is the hostess with the mostess. It's producer John. How are you doing?
Hi, guys. Hi. 6-0 to you at the moment, Stephen.
6-0? Is that how much it is? Yeah. Wow. That's 6 to me and 0 to you, Ewan.
Right, okay then, we're ready for come on you. It's the 100th episode. You can do this. Eye of the tiger. Just remember, eye of the tiger.
Eye of the tiger.
Eye of the tiger. Eye of the tiger. Focus, ready, let's do it.
Right, okay,
just before we get started, though, I wonder what it means more, your eye of the tiger or all the support that I have behind me for the quiz.
Move on. Move on.
Okay, first question, quite topical. How many Scotland men internationals have over 100 caps? How many internationals have over 100 caps?
What, in the history of Scottish football?
Yep.
Do we need to name them?
No, not naming them.
No,
shut
just need the number.
Fucking here all day for trying to name them. You got a number?
Yeah.
Have you?
Yeah.
You writing it down?
Yeah.
You confident?
Pretty confident. Yeah, pretty confident in this, I think.
Yeah, I've got my answer.
Yeah, you got your answer, Ewan. Yeah. Okay, no worries. Okay. Right.
I'll go first.
You go, okay. Ewan.
I actually think it's just one. I think it's Dalglish.
You're saying one?
I've also gone for one. Kenny Dalglish, I think he's got 102 caps.
Both right.
I was reading about it earlier on this week.
Well done, boys. I thought it was a wee tricky one there, but yous are on
I mean, McGinn and Robertson must be on it.
70-odd, isn't it?
70-odd, 80-odd caps, something like that.
I think Billy Gilmore might go on to be the biggest
chance
of all time.
Even McTominay's...
Yeah, 50-something at the moment, I think. Yeah, we go.
Anyway, question number two.
Question number two. Who was the first managerial casualty of the season in the SPFL? Who was the first managerial casualty of the season in the whole of the SPFL?
I've got an answer.
Got an answer?
I have no idea where I've got this answer from.
Stephen, you got an answer?
Oh,
yeah, I think I do, but I'm between two.
So am I. I've just remembered one.
I'm between two. I think it's this one.
Right.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with the one I initially
You're sticking with the one you got, Stephen?
Yeah, okay.
You going with what you got? Right, okay.
Yeah, okay.
I'll go first, and I'll go for Ian Murray.
Oh, God.
Ian Murray?
I went for Jim McIntyre.
Ooh.
One of these is right. Both obviously lost their jobs
early on.
I was like, that was the two I thought of, but I thought Ian Murray was the week before, and plus it was 30 days ago, so that would make it, you know, really early on.
Stephen,
Yep.
Got it right.
Of course I got it right. Of course I got it right.
1-0 or 2-1, Stephen. Sorry,
Ewan. You got that one wrong, Ewan. It was, you should have said, did you remember Ian Murray?
That's what I said, I just wanted two, right?
Right.
I've just spoken to you. Went,
I knew it's 1-2, right? Okay, I've got it wrong. You I had a 50-50 chance and I went for the wrong Ewan. All
went,
right.
You went for Jim.
But move on.
Jim McIntyre was the incorrect answer.
It's 2-1. Let's go to question
Question number three. Which Belgian club will face Celtic in the Champions League? Which Belgian club will face Celtic in the Champions League?
We were talking about last week. We went through the fixtures.
We did. It's that short-term memory questions they always get to people. Both got an answer?
Yeah.
Yeah. Stephen?
I don't know.
Do you have to write some down?
I've got some written down, but I don't know if it's the right answer.
I went through the fixtures last week because I said they're going to get 9 points. I remember talking about them. What, I actually said they'd beat the Belgians. I'm going to go first here, and I don't even think it's right. I think it might be Antwerp. Is it Antwerp?
Antwerp. Stephen, what are you saying?
Is that not who Rangers are playing?
Is it USC? Is that how they're playing?
Both.
Both wrong. Is it Club Bruges?
It is Club Bruges they're playing.
I was going to write that down. Ran out of time.
2-1 after three questions.
2-1.
Go.
Question number four. Here we go.
Yeah.
Fergus the Fox. Is the mascot of which football club? Fergus the Fox is the mascot of which football club?
Can I ask you what league?
No.
I don't think it's a, is it the Premiership? I'm going to go this. I don't know. I'm just going to have a guess.
Where do you get foxes?
In all over the place, Stephen.
In a forest.
They're quite common.
They're in my street. They're in my next door neighbours, David and Jim.
I have absolutely no idea.
Why did they go to David and Jim's, the foxes? Did they not come to your house?
No. They're David and Jim Foxes. That's their second name.
Oh, right.
They're bad.
I genuinely don't have a clue.
I don't
think it's a Premiership, though.
Right, okay.
It's not one I've heard of.
What's his name again?
Fergus the Fox.
Fergus nah.
Fox. Fergus sounds like a sort of... I'll explain my reasoning.
Right. I like when they do that in quiz shows.
Right,
okay.
What have you gone with?
Stephen, explain your reasoning.
Okay, I've gone for Cove Rangers.
Right.
On the basis that Fergus is a name that you'd probably find quite commonly in the northeast of Scotland.
That's a good reason.
And also the reason I've gone for Cove Rangers is... I don't know what their mascot is because they're a kind of new team. Like I would know, and then I was thinking, is it an F? I don't know, it's not Falkirk. I don't think it's Falkirk. Forfar's by the coast, so that I think that would be.
Well, what you're saying all kind of makes sense as to why you'd think that or think that.
What have you written? You?
I've just written down a team in the Championship. I didn't even think about it because I didn't have a clue, never heard of it in my life before. So I just went Morton.
Nah, it's not Morton. No,
both. And Marshall has saved. Yes. You should have went with alliteration, Stephen. It was Falkirk. Fergus the Fox.
What?
Yep.
Is it?
What a stupid mascot.
Why is that
Fergus
stupid mascot?
Fergus the Fox.
I know Fergus.
Shut up.
There we go.
Right, final question.
Final question.
You want to go for your top end?
Wait. So this is question five and I'm 2-1 down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you need to...
If you went for the top bin... Steve went for the question. It would obviously.
I would need to get it right.
You need to get it. Or Stephen, if you were to get your top bin question right, Stephen would have to go for his to win.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to go with the normal question. Hopefully, I get it right. He gets it wrong and it goes to a tie break.
Right. Okay. Here we go then.
2-1, question five. Question I get it five. Right, tie break. If we both get it right or both get it wrong, I'm fucking lost again.
Right. Okay then, question number five. Who is the current Scotland women's captain? Who is the current Scotland women's captain?
I can see her.
I've got the right answer.
I can see her.
If it's any consolation, you may as well give up, because I've got the right answer. And I'm going to win anyway. So...
Well, just in case you don't, I've got an answer as well.
Right, right. Oh, both got an answer? Yeah. Right, okay.
Well, you and you go first then.
Yeah, I'll go first. You. I've went with Emsley.
Claire Emsley.
Yeah.
Claire Emsley. Stephen, what were you in for?
I've gone for Rachel Corsi, because that's the right answer.
On episode 100...
Please tell me I've taken it to a tie break. Please, please tell me to take it to a tie break. Has to be Emsley. She's a better player. She's a better player.
Rachel.
One each is right.
Rachel Corsi is the most experienced player in the squad.
Doesn't mean anything.
And has been the captain for a long time, I think.
And
well, they could have changed it for the new manager.
Stephen would be correct.
Of course I am. Of course I'm correct. Another thumping win for me.
Thumping.
In the quiz.
It went to the last question.
Thank you very, very much.
But John, was that a thumping? John, was that a thumping?
It wasn't a thumping.
3-1 to me. And again, thank you for all your support on the quiz. All the people who get in touch with me on the YouTube channel, on my Twitter, on @BigFootballScott as well. It really does mean a lot to me. But most of all, my family and my friends. I mean, honestly, they just give me so much.
Can I just say, your friends have contacted me and they think you're a prick.
Right, okay, right.
They contact me as well.
Do they?
They do say.
I think you might be making that up, Ewan.
Well, and you don't.
I think you might be making that up. Anyway, that is it. Episode 100 of the Big Scottish Football Podcast is done. Ewan has packed his pouch and he's heading up the road. Cheery bye, Ewan. See you later. Nice doing a podcast with you.
I'll let you hang out with my imaginary friends.
Bye. Bye-bye, Ewan. Another meltdown from Ewan Cameron. At least we'll have another Hearts meltdown to look forward to next week, I guess, because we'll be back for episode 101 of the Big Scottish Football Podcast. Get in touch for if you think balloons are overrated. We finally found out who the Masked Singer was, thanks to lazy producer John. And, enjoy your week. The club football's back this Friday night. Enjoy your week, everyone. See you next Monday. Bye-bye.